Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to have all of you here this morning. I trust that the service has been a blessing. I trust the message will help you out. 1 John 5 is a powerful passage of Scripture, and certainly one that many of us quote different verses out of it. And I call your attention to starting in verse 10. It says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record." And you ought to circle that in your Bible, the record, and underline that. He believeth not the record. You know, we have the record right here in our King James Bibles, amen? And it's good to have this record. And it's good to have it recorded. God's written it down for us. And, you know, nobody has an excuse to say, "Well, I didn't know what the record said. I didn't know what it said about Jesus. I wasn't real sure about that." It says, "Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." God's given us a record about his Son and how Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. And he died on an old rugged cross to pay the price for our sins. And thank God that we have that record. It says, verse 11, "This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son." It's not in the church. You can join the church over and over, join different churches. That doesn't give you eternal life. It's not in baptism. We can baptize you till you wrinkle up like a prune, and it isn't going to do any good if you don't have Jesus in your heart as your Savior. He says here, "This is the record God hath given to us, eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." By the way, that spells it out pretty easily, doesn't it? You know, I'm amazed that folks say, "Well, you just can't understand the Bible. It's too hard to understand. It's too deep." That's not very deep. If you have the Son, you have life. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. By the way, I think anybody can understand that. I think anybody can, a child can understand that. That's why we preach and teach that to our children. That's why we have Vacation Bible School. We invite a lot of little kids to come and trust Christ as Savior. You know, people criticize, "Well, you know, they can't understand." Well, do you understand that? That's like saying, if somebody's breathing, they're alive. If they're not breathing, they're dead. That's not hard, is it? I mean, it's something that you can watch. If you have the Son, you have life. If you have not the Son, you don't have life. That's easy. It's like saying, if your heart's beating today, we did this experiment on Wednesday night with all the children in here, and it was an exciting thing. We had everybody check and see if they were still alive. It's not hard to do, really. I mean, if you find a pulse, you know, you can check the wrist, you can check your neck, you can touch right in here and try to feel that heartbeat. And if that heart is beating, good news. Y'all are really not cooperating well this morning. But if it's not beating, bad news. But if you were able to reach up there and try to find it, and you're wiggling your arm around, probably you're okay. You just haven't found it yet. But I'm just saying, some things are pretty easy. Some things don't really take a rocket scientist to figure out. And it says, if you have the Son, you have life. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Clearly, that is what the Scripture says. Hey, this morning, are you saved? Do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Do you have what he calls here eternal life? Have you received that gift from God? By the way, that's not a hard thing to understand either, is it? Receiving a gift? We like gifts, don't we? Huh? You know, I mean, we love to receive gifts. And again, how hard is it to receive a gift? You just take it. Somebody else bought it. Somebody else paid for it. Somebody else wrapped it. Somebody else gave it to you, but all you have to do is take it, right? That's not hard, is it? No, it's not difficult at all. For you, Jesus died on the cross to provide the gift. He paid the price for the gift, eternal life. But for me, at the age of 17, I just took it. I took the Son and received him as my Savior. And God says in verse 12, if you have the Son, you have life. What kind of life? Well, he says here it's eternal life. Now this is all the introduction to the introduction. Amen. And so if you have the Son, you have life. Look, it is not difficult today to distinguish where you are. I mean, the line is very, very simple. It is drawn very clearly in the Scripture. You are either today saved or you are lost. There is no in between. There is no, well, I'm kind of standing on the line here. There is nothing like that. Okay, you say, as others have said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Okay, almost is to die and go to hell. You must be born again, Jesus said. You have to trust Christ. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior to be saved. But let me tell you, I got some great news because most of the folks in this room have done that. When you do that, the Bible says you have life. Period. What kind of life? Eternal life. And that's what I want to talk to you about because, again, the record is in the Scripture. God's given us the record. He showed us the record. He made clear the record. I'm not talking about things that a preacher might have said. I'm not talking about things that a teacher might have said. I'm not talking about things that a parent might have said or another leader might have said. And certainly they can say those things and all that. But I'm talking about something that has all the authority to say what it says, and that is the Word of God. He is the Creator. He is sovereign. He is over everything. And if anybody has a right to say that you have life, it would be God. If anyone has a right to say this morning that you don't have life, it would be God. Because He provided that life. He made it possible for us to be saved. What a blessing, what a wonderful thing that is, that we can have what He calls here in His Word, eternal life. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Father, bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts. I pray you will in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, he says here, key word, and that is no. K-N-O-W. And I love that word. John uses it over and over and over again. I talked about this when I preached about the apostles, how that John, you know, he thought it was the greatest thing in the world to know Jesus. He, the Bible says he referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. He felt that way because he describes himself as that disciple that was always leaning on Jesus. I mean, as close as he could get. I mean, John, really, he understood abiding in Christ. John chapter 15, what's it about? Abiding in Christ. Amen. He understood it. Sad to say, most Christians don't really understand that. And I'm not talking about that this morning. But that word, know, to know. And I love in the Scripture, the title of the message this morning is found in verse 13. And he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And notice what he says, that ye may know. Ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. And I like that. Wow, I like assurance. We all like assurance. We like to know things. Amen. Especially things that we particularly like. I mean, you know, in marriage, we like to know that everything's all right. You know, we like to hear those words, I love you. We like to hear, you know, you're wonderful. When a woman says to us, do I look all right? I mean, dummy. There is only one answer to that. Amen? I mean, there is no other answer. And don't ponder it. Hello? Are you all out there today? I know it's a little warm. Anyway, some of you guys, seriously, you know, she says, how do I look? And you go, well, you're dead. I mean, there's something you can know for sure. I promise you, there is something guaranteed. I know you are in the doghouse, buddy. I mean, don't ponder that. Beautiful. You're beautiful. Now, listen to what she's saying. You know, she might say, does this look bad? Yes. You don't, you know, you got to, I mean, pay attention, fellas. Amen. But I'm just saying there's things we like to know. We like to know that our job's all right, don't we? Amen. Amen. I mean, you know, especially in Michigan. Michigan, you know, I was praising the Lord today. I think it was 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I was thanking Him for our people here and jobs. People are losing their jobs. People are hurting all over. You know, we're still making budget, And I was praising the Lord for that. I was thanking Him that He's blessed our people. And we have people give testimonies week after week how, you know, God has enabled them to work. And jobs, you know, though it's bad all around, and certainly I feel bad for others, but thank God so many are doing all right. We like to know that job's all right. You know, we like to, you know, our boss every now and then to come around and say, "You're doing a good job. Brother Cook, you're doing a good job." Which one of you? Well, we're not going to say. But you guys can wonder, you can both feel good or bad. Amen. You know, but we want to know that. Here you go. We want to know the retirements there, don't we? If you're counting on Social Security, we'll pray for you. But we want to, you know, we want to know. And boy, all kinds of advertising. You know, put your money with us. We'll make sure there's something there when you retire and all this stuff. Why? We want to know that it's all taken care of. We want to know those kind of things. But you know, it's amazing. The most important thing, absolutely the most important thing, is to know whether you're going to heaven or not. Do you have eternal life or don't you? The scripture is very clear. You either have it or you don't have it. If you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have eternal life. And to not have eternal life is to have eternal death. Now, again, the most important thing in the world, all these things we want to know about, the most, by far, the most important thing is knowing whether we're going to heaven or not. Amen. Do you know? He said, "You may know." I mean, if I can know, I want to know. If you can know, wouldn't you want to know? Seems like we would. You know, most people, by far, on this earth, believe that you get to heaven by works. And honestly, if you go soul winning very long, you find out most people believe that, okay, I'm going to do good works and I'm going to do bad works. And if my good works outweigh my bad works when I die, then I'll go to heaven. But if my bad works outweigh my good works when I die, then I'll go to hell. Now, they think it's like there's a scale, all right? And they think, kind of like at Vacation Bible School, when we do the offering, the boys against the girls, and we have buckets over here, and the girls have a big bucket, and the guys have a big bucket, and we start pouring all the money in. And Kayla, you're getting excited just thinking about it, aren't you? I can feel it. Whoever happens to be in charge that year, Captain Quasar or Captain Caviar or one of them, you know, they're holding that thing out there, and whichever's heaviest, it, you know, that team wins and they get the piece of candy and everybody's excited and all that. And we think somehow that God in heaven is going to base whether we go to heaven or not on that kind of a principle. You say, "Preacher, that is kind of ridiculous." Well, that's what most people believe. Hey, listen to me. Average church, Adrian, Michigan, if you went to their service this morning, stay with me now. If you went to the service, they are literally a pastor, a rabbi, a whoever is going to get up, a pope, a cardinal, a cub, a tiger, whatever. They're going to get up. They're going to literally teach their people, hey, count on it. And they're going to hold that scale out there for them and say, pour the good stuff in. Don't do the bad stuff. And they're going to base heaven and hell on that. I'll be honest with you, that would make me tired. That would scare me. And you know, seriously, how foolish is that based on what God said right here? Ye may know. Now, the truth is, we all think we're pretty good folks. Especially if we're Americans. I mean, Americans never do anything wrong, right? And we're Baptists. We never do anything bad. But boy, when you start looking at good works and bad works, and you study it in the scripture, and you come to that verse in Isaiah that says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and you study that filthy rag thing, and that's not a good rag. That filthy rag is a rag that is wrapped around a leprous, pussy sore. And it's soaked with that pus and that cancer, that leprosy, that disease, it's soaked up with all of that. And that rag, that's our good works. Are you listening? That's our good works. Ooh, you mean that's not going to go in the good bucket? No, it's a rag of pus. I think that's going to go over here in the bad bucket. That's the good things we do. That's helping the little old lady cross the street. That's helping the little old pastor cross the street. Are you listening? That's the good things we do. It's all pussy. See? You say, where's all the bad stuff? That's in the bucket too. And here, Reverend Cold Church is standing up here holding the scale for you and saying, yes, keep doing those good things. Put that money in the plate. Do those good things. And God says, yeah, it's going in that bad bucket. Why? Because we're sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there has to be someone who will pay for that sin. Something that will pay for that sin. And that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for that sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus died for me. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his blood. Now listen to me. Stay with me now. I'm telling you this. You know, when you have those scales out there and your good works and your bad works are all weighed and everything, truth is, nobody can go to heaven that way. In fact, God says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. For by grace he is saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. Stay with me now. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Brother Denias, you and I both know, we preach many, many times, and we know that if we worked our way to heaven, that's all we'd hear about in heaven, isn't it? Because we know man. We know ourselves. Look what I did. Look what I did. I promise you this, no one in heaven is going to say, look what I did. They're all going to look at Jesus and say, look what he did. That's why we're here. Look what he did. Hey, he did it! Jesus paid it all! All to him I owe! He paid it. It's amazing, amazing how people are counting on that good and bad scale of whether they go to heaven or not. But see, he and it's totally unscriptural. He said ye may know. If it is good works versus bad works and which weighs the most, you wouldn't know until you die. And so most people, if you ask them, if you died today, would you go to heaven? They will say something like this, I hope so. Ask a Jehovah's Witness, they'll say, I hope so. Ask a Mormon, they'll say, I hope so. Ask the large denominational church, they'll say, I hope so. Ask the Burger King church people, they'll say, groovy man, I hope so. But God said you can know. Ye may know. Now this is all introduction. Let's get into the message. Number one, the people who are assured. He said, the people that are assured, it's you that believe. All right? Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe. Okay, he wants us to know. All right? He wants us to be assured everything's all right. The persons who are assured are those who believe. The object of our faith is not Christianity, it's not church, it's not even the Bible, it's not the baptismal, it's the Son of God. He's the one I've trusted as my Savior. He is the Savior, the name of the Son of God. It says, unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Not believe and be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen? And have you done that? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you done it? Have you done it? Then you may know. You have eternal life. Well, you know, I'm not real sure if I did. What do you mean you're not sure if you did? How can you not be sure if you did? If you're not sure if you did, then do. Amen. Well, it's written in the front of my Bible, but I don't remember. Then do it. Amen. Make sure. Believe on the name of the Son of God. And again, that's not complicated. That's not difficult. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's simple. Anyone can understand that. Anyone can do that. We make it too complicated. I said we make it too hard. I said we're making it too difficult. I say we're making it where it's so out of reach, and it's not supposed to be out of reach. A child should be able to get saved. And they do. Amen. In John chapter 12, the Greeks came to Philip. They said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They didn't want to, they didn't ask to see the disciples. They didn't ask to see the deacons. They didn't ask to see the Sunday school teachers. They didn't ask to see the people in the church. They didn't ask to see the pastor. They asked to see Jesus Christ. They weren't looking to be put on the church roll. They weren't looking for somebody to put them in the baptismal tank. They were looking for salvation, but they were also looking for assurance. Neither is there salvation in any other. Jesus is the one that we need to look to. He's the one we need to call upon. He's the one that will save us if we do that. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Look it up. There is no other way. Neither is there salvation in any other. Well, but there's a lot of sincere people, a lot of sincere Muslims, a lot of sincere Catholics, a lot of insincere this and a lot of sincere that. I'm telling you, Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, you cannot come to the Father but by me. Not through the Pope, not through eating a wafer that's supposed to turn into skin, not drinking wine that supposedly turns into blood, not through some sort of prayer, not through Hail Marys, not through rosary beads, not through putting an article in the newspaper and praying to Jude, not to putting a little idol out in your yard and putting a booth over it and lighting it so it doesn't get scared at night. Not any of those things. Only through Jesus Christ can a man be saved. And that is how you can know. So I said, boy, there's people, they just don't know. It's because they don't have. And if you don't have, you won't know. Because he said, I wrote this to those who believe. Amen. That's right. It's for those who believe. Now you're here today and you're not sure. My question is, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and save you? Have you done that? I'm not trying to get you to wonder about it. I'm not trying to get you to worry about it. Truth of the matter is, I'm not worried about it. I already know it because I know I did it. I have the Son. He said, if you have the Son, you have life. What kind of life? Eternal life. Do you have the Son today? Have you trusted Jesus and Him alone as your Savior? Number one, the persons who are assured. Number two, the provision to be assured of. Oh, I love this. What is it? Eternal life. Eternal life. John 3:16 uses the term everlasting life. I like them both. Now here's the thing. We're all alive. Simple test. Check. Brother Korea, you alive?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, I can tell you're moving there. Unless your wife's propping you up and, you know, moving you around. But amen. But you know what? At death, something's going to happen. This is deep. At death, something's going to happen. What's that? You'll die. Death, thanatos, is separation. And when we die, separation takes place. Our body from our soul, and the body just goes, pfft. I mean, that's what happens. If you die, your body, I mean, there is a separation. But you know, for the lost person, it's a separation of them from God in a place called hell. That soul goes somewhere. Either goes to heaven or hell. It's separated from the body. It goes somewhere. Either goes to heaven or it goes to hell. Now, again, this is not hard, but if God says that because I have the Son, if He says I have, because of that, I have eternal life, and John chapter 3:16 says I have everlasting life, then When did that life begin? Well, that's a good question. Because life begins at birth, right? So as a Christian, if you have eternal life, when did it begin? Well, it begins at birth. Jesus said you must be born again. And so I had to trust Christ as Savior. Don't look at him. I'm a lot cuter than he is. If you have to have eternal life, and you have eternal life, and it begins when you're born, and you're born as a Christian, and you get that eternal life, when does it end? When does eternal life, when does everlasting life, when does that end? Okay, by definition, everlasting life. By definition, stay with me now. Don't worry about them. They're just talking. By definition, everlasting life. What's that say? Everlasting. How long does it last? Oh, we're starting to respond. Very good. Okay, everlasting life. When does it end? Oh, it doesn't end, does it? So if you have everlasting life, if you have eternal life, okay, how long is eternal life? It's eternal, right? It doesn't end. Everlasting lasts forever. Doesn't end. Honestly, this is not hard. When did I get it? I got it when I trusted Christ as my Savior. I got it at birth, my new birth. You must be born again. You're born the first time when you're born of your mother. You're born the second time when you trust Jesus as your Savior. And you're born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're new. Newborn as a Christian. And you have a new life. What is it? It's everlasting life. It's eternal life. When do you lose it? You know, you can't. It's eternal. It's everlasting. So when I die, my body will be separated from my soul, but my soul has everlasting life, eternal life. It goes on. It goes on and on, and it goes on forever, eternally, everlasting. It never ceases. And it's like this: when a person dies and they're lost, they are eternally separated from God. When a person dies and they're saved, they are eternally with God. Amen. Everlasting. And you see, as a Christian, that is a promise from God. That's how ye may know. It isn't based on me. It's based on the kind of life that I have. And when I got saved at the age of 17, I received eternal life. Now, the question again, what kind of life do you have? Do you have that eternal life because you have the Son? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's how we can know, because we either do or we don't. It's not that hard. That's a provision that we can be assured of, eternal life. Number three, the profit of being assured, and that is this: ye may know. Ye may know. And I that's the most important thing. We want to know a lot of things. In fact, you know, it's amazing how much time and money is spent on knowledge. How much time and money is spent on knowing? I mean, good night, libraries and books and the internet. I mean, the whole idea of the internet. Hey, young people, pay attention to me. I'm preaching. The whole idea of the internet is knowledge. We want to learn this. We want to learn that. We want to know this. We want to know that. But the most important thing to know would be, where am I going to spend eternity? Average, I don't know what the average lifespan is. Brother Chase, where are you?
Thank you, sir.
What's the average lifespan? All right. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Oh, well, that hurt me a little bit. But she's going to outlive me 4 years? I guess I better spend everything so that the new guy doesn't get it all. But, we spend all this time and all this money trying to know all these things. And eternity is forever. Why wouldn't we give everything we have to knowing where we're going to spend eternity? When we can know. Not a secret. It's not hidden. Not a mystery. ye may know. Clearly, ye may know. Most important thing, but it's not important to most people. You go soul winning and I don't want to hear about that. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. You know, it's amazing how they start to care when they're on their deathbed. Many, many times. Boy, they care then. It's interesting, the popular thinking, I started to say religion, and really I could call it that, nowadays is to be an agnostic. That is the belief of you can't know. In other words, their theme would be, I don't know. I wouldn't want to live that kind of life. In other words, they can say you can know 2 + 2, but you can't know what God's plan is for you. Oh, God allowed us to know how to fly, but you can't know how to get to heaven. Oh, God let us know that water is H2O, but you can't know how to get to heaven. God let us know chemistry, and God let us know history, and God gave us all kinds of other things. And we can study geography, but you can't know why he sent his son to die on a cross. Isn't that something? What a boring and dreary life that would be to not know. I know. How do you know, preacher? Because he said I could know. Well, how can you know? Well, he said that if I have the Son, I have life. What kind of life? Eternal life. And I have the Son, so I have eternal life. Do you have the Son? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? The profit of being assured, the profit of knowing. You see, it is possible to know. I know. Paul knew. John knew. Peter knew. Amen? Well, how do they know? Because they believe the record. The record said that if you have the Son, you have life. The record said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They did that. I've done that. Many have done that. It's like somebody says, well, you know, I'm just trying to be a Christian. That's like trying to be an American. You either are or you aren't. That's like little Jeffrey trying to be born. He's either born or he's not. And I think we can all testify he's born. Hello? Amen. You're not, I mean, Jesus said you must be born again. Not constantly being born. That'd be a problem, wouldn't it, Angel? I don't think that was that pleasant of an experience, really. And most women would testify to that. Of course, it's always hard on the men. You see, I mean, something you either are or you aren't. And it is possible to know. It is possible to know. Amen? And you know, secondly under this, it's a privilege to know. Because I don't have to worry. I do not have to worry about it. I don't even have to wonder about it, and I don't wonder about it because it's all based on God's record. He said it's okay. He said that it ye may know, and you know, that is a great, great privilege. Worriers, they're on again, off again. You run into people that believe that they just don't really believe. You know, they just don't know if they're saved here or don't know if they're saved there. Not sure about it today. Not sure about. They don't do a whole lot for God because they're constantly worried. And I understand that. I would have a hard time doing a lot of things if I was always wondering whether I'm going to heaven or not. They say that when the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco was built, when they started building it, 23 men fell to their death. They spent $100,000 for a safety net, and the work increased by 25%. Just because they knew that thing was there, they worked harder 25% more just because they knew that they were okay. Assurance does a lot for you. It helps you. It's assurance. It's when things go wrong, you say, you know what, though? I'm saved. It's when problems come, you say, you know what, though? I'm going to heaven someday. It's when sorrow and trials, and everybody here faces those kinds of things. It's saying, hey, my God wanted me to know. He let me know, and I do know. And He cares that I know. And it's one of the most precious, precious things that I have as a Christian is that I know. I know where I'm going. By the way, how can you thank God for a gift if you're not sure you have it? How in the way? You know, and so many are not thankful because they're not sure. How could you think? Well, Lord, I thank you that so far my good works outweigh my bad works, I think. And then you hear that message about that putrid rag going over into the, yeah, boy, that's a scary thing. Let me give you the last thing. Number four is the promise of assurance. He said, these things have I written. That's a contract. These things have I written. And God cannot lie. He cannot lie. It is impossible. Somebody says, well, you know, and I've had this asked to me, but well, what if when you die you end up in hell after all? Then God would no longer be God. Because it's written. He wrote it down. It's a contract. Keep in mind, His word is not just words. It's His promise. He gave His word. And He said to me, and I read it often, ye may know. And it's written, and God cannot lie. Amen? What's it based on? He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son? Are you saved? You have life. You have eternal life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son of God? It is that simple. And it's written. Huh? How many little children? You know, you ask them, are you saved? If you died, would you go to heaven? Do you know Jesus? Do you have the Son of God? You know, and any way you say it. And here's the answer. Well, how do you know then? He says so. He said so. He said so. That's really what matters. I don't know how many kids, you know, will go to a teacher and say this or that after they've come to me and they say, preacher said. Sometimes they haven't come to me. Anyway, and then they get in trouble. But you know, let me tell you, if the devil comes to me and says, you are still just as wicked as you ever were. And you know what? That's the one time he's not lying. Because we are. But if he starts bugging me and starts, you know, you're going to go to hell. You didn't do what you needed to do, or you're wrong on this thing, or whatever. It's very easy to shut him up. I just say, God said. Here, it's written. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Because I did that. I do believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It all boils down to this, just this very simple thing in verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son of God this morning? If you do, then you may know. You may know. You say, well, yeah, but I'm struggling with it. It's your own fault. All you have to do is say, He said it. It's true. Years ago, this cute little thing, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Phooey on that second part. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. Period. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it's already settled. God said it. I tell some people, and I used to do this in Bern, Indiana, because it was a Mennonite area, and folks would want to argue about this thing, and well, we're not, you know, you don't know for sure, and all this stuff, and they'd argue, and I'd say, you know what, from everything you're telling me, you're saved, you just don't know it, go ahead and be miserable. You know what, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to thank Him every day for the gift that He gave me, and I'm using it. Because eternal life doesn't start when you die, it starts when you get saved. And it just goes on and on and on. And I'm enjoying the life. Some of you are enduring it. I'd urge you to enjoy it. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are